All right, guys, welcome to the podcast. Usually I give you guys a little summary of what we talked about, but I don't want to do that anymore. I think it's getting kind of boring, but instead I just wanted to give you guys a life update. I am about to leave Minnesota in 10 days. Right now it is November 18th. I think that this is when I'll be publishing this episode. This is actually when I'm also recording this intro. Living in 10 days, leaving in 10 days. So that's a life update. I don't really know how these podcasts are going to look in the future, but I think we're going to keep doing these. I think I don't really care who's listening. I just really like doing this stuff. So anyways, I do want to give you a little preview of what this episode is about. In a nutshell, we talk about self-love, self-care, of course, Katie's journey to getting to know Jesus. And yeah, I think it's really cool that I get to ask people how they came to know Christ, because it's different for everybody. And especially for those who were raised in a religion that, you know, they might have felt like it was just too much about the rules or just didn't really make sense. I know for me growing up, I felt like the religious people were all old, and so it was really hard for them to relate to me. It was hard for me to relate to them. It was just an all around difficult situation, and there was no way that they were going to make Jesus look attractive to me, right? But sometimes it takes people who are our age, who are willing to share the gospel and in a way that attracts us. So yeah, so me and Katie talk a little bit about that. And we also talk about the importance of just showing up to prayer, regardless of how you're feeling, how you're doing. I hope that resonates with a lot of you. I had a really great time just chatting up with Katie. She's awesome. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So first thing, Katie. Mm-hmm. When were you born and where were you born?
I was born December 27th, 1989, here in Minneapolis. So I'm 28. Right. Yeah, 28.
28. Yeah. How many siblings?
I have four siblings. I have two older brothers and two younger. My second oldest brother, so the one that's right above me, died at 2 months of sudden infant death syndrome, which is SIDS. So I have three living. So, yeah.
Wow. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You're the only girl?
Yeah. Dead middle, only girl. Yeah.
How is that?
Honestly, I really love it. I think at times in my life I had wanted a sister, but I just was so used to only boys that I didn't really think I was missing anything until I started finding friends who felt like sisters, and it was like, oh, this is fantastic. So I found sisterhood when I needed it in my life, but I like being the only girl. So yeah.
That's awesome. I know someone who's the only girl. She has like, I think, nine brothers.
Nine.
And my first reaction was, good job. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, because yeah. I think I'm saying that because it's me, two younger brothers, my dad and my mom.
Yeah.
And she's the only female in our family. Mm-hmm. And I mean, growing up, I didn't really understand the importance of having, like, I don't know, like looking back now, I definitely would see that, oh, my mom would have appreciated to have like girl time with her daughter or something like that. But I mean, I don't know. They're stuck with us. So that's good. yeah. Do you and your mom have a lot of girl time?
Yes, we do. I remember like being younger and we So growing up, we, and I mean, even still to this day, family dinner is like really important to us, like having all of us around the table at a certain time, eating together, talking together. And I mean, because there were four men at the table and only two women, and we're already a loud family. I mean, most conversations were about whatever they wanted it to be about. So like sports and other stuff like that. And so I remember, yeah, just like having little side conversations between me and my mom, and then eventually getting to a point where she was like, okay, boys, we're going to talk about what like we want to talk about. And so you have to sit through this and you have to listen to it. And I remember seeing them just like glaze over and just being like, oh my gosh. And so we started taking our girl time like elsewhere. And yeah, we do a lot of things together that is just the two of us. So it feels really special, really special.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So did you ever get into sports then?
Yes, I did. I grew up in a cul-de-sac, and we were the middle house, and we had two houses on either side of us. And so all five houses had boys in it. Wow. There was one other girl neighbor that was more into like dolls, and I just didn't care to play dolls or like dress up or things like that, really, that I remember. I always wanted to be outside with the boys, like playing baseball in the cul-de-sac and building forts in the forest and just running around and getting scraped knees and stuff like that. And so, yeah, just like playing sports and being active is something I've always done. I played tennis in high school, played basketball in middle school, golf all throughout my life. Tried running for a while. I just am not built for it. I always get shin splints. And yeah, so now I just do a whole like random list of things too. So
you climb. Is that new?
Yes, it's brand new. I would not call myself a climber by any means, but yeah, I just started doing that like maybe a month or two ago, I think, something like that. So yeah.
What made you decide to try that out?
Yeah. So I had first tried it a few years ago, actually on a first date, which was interesting to put your life in the hands of a first date that you aren't sure about yet. And yeah, so I tried it and really liked it, but then just kind of like forgot about it for a few years. And then my boyfriend actually joined the gym a while ago, a few months ago, and was telling me about it. And I was like, you know, that was really fun a few years ago, and we'll try it again. And so I tried it, and I found out that the gym that I belong to, Minneapolis Bouldering Project, also has like a full gym that has all of the weights that I need for weightlifting, which I do, has a yoga studio and just everything that I was already looking for in a gym. And then there's like rock climbing. And so that's what I do now, or bouldering, I guess. I don't even know the right terms.
I think it's called bouldering, but for like the rest of us, we'll just say climbing. I mean, yeah, I don't really do that either, only because after every time I do it, my arms are just shot.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything the next day. I mean, granted, I know I have to like keep doing it. So
yeah,
sweet. So Katie, we know each other 'cause we did this thing called NET. Yeah. And that's like, that seems to be a common theme in all my podcast guests. I was like going through the list. I'm like, okay, so we did one with Katie, and then I did one with Claire. I'm like, wait. And then like, I have all these other people in my head. I'm like, they all did NET, which is okay. But I do want to branch out at some point. So if you're listening and you didn't do NET, if you have no idea what that is, I need you in the show. So
slide into his DMs.
Yeah, slide into the DMs. You know, I'm friendly. So yeah, so we did that. Do you mind sharing like how you decided to do something that crazy?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to figure out where is like a starting point. I haven't talked about it in a few years.
Well, I mean, I guess you can share, like how'd you even, I mean, in order for you to do NET, you kind of have to have some sort of faith relation, like some relationship with Jesus. And, yeah. So I'm guessing, you know, you either, did it come out of nowhere? Was it the people around you? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I was born and raised Catholic, went to Catholic schools my whole life. So kind of like, it was just like faith and God and church and religion were just like an ever present thing for me, but it was never something I like took seriously or like was curious about at all. And when I went away to college, right after high school, I chose a Catholic school just because I think honestly, like subconsciously, because it was familiar. And I just like, I did not enjoy myself. I had an awful time and fell away from the faith. And I remember like when my parents dropped me off, they like found the church on campus and they were like, okay, like this, we're going to go to church. And I was like, yeah, totally. And then never went, never, mm-hmm. not once. And I don't know. I think at first it felt like freedom that I was like, oh, I can choose if I go to church or not. And I remember like having like, friends on the dorm floor that I lived on, like invite me, but I like felt excluded by them somehow, even though they were still like inviting me. And so I like thought about going a few times, but just enjoyed partying way too much. And so most Sundays I was hungover or still drinking or starting to drink again. And so, yeah, just kind of forgot about God and religion and faith and church, even though I was still going to a Catholic school and had priests as professors and things like that. And so, yeah. So then at the end of my freshman year of college, I decided not to go back because I had no idea what I was doing. And I had been diagnosed with depression and was on meds for that and just needed to kind of like be at home and just figure stuff out. And then, yeah, I just got a job at a coffee shop and started working there and like did not like all my friends were still away at school. And so I just like would work and come home and do nothing. And yeah, I just had no idea what I wanted to do, where I was being pulled towards, nothing. And so I think I kind of just settled into like, maybe this is just like my reality. Like I just go to work and then I just come home and then I get up and I do the same thing again. And I think I like went to church with my family, but was so just like in like this weird depression glaze over kind of a thing where like nothing was really sinking in. And so even when I was going to church and even when I like, had people bring up God in conversation, it just never sunk in for me. I did not absorb it, until one of my friends just started like getting back into her faith and we were living together. And so she would invite me to church and like these speakers and things like this. We were living on the U of M campus. And I was still partying as much as I had been when I was at school, and making really stupid choices that I totally somehow validated as good choices in my mind. Oh my gosh. Yes. 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 Yeah. So started kind of going to church, but was still partying and somehow was like, this is okay. You know, like I can be super hungover, but if I make it into that pew, like I'm golden, and did not understand anything about the faith. It was almost as if I had never been to Catholic school. And even though I had gone my whole life, and I still to this day feel like I don't really like know, you know, the catechism or like all of the teachings or terms to use, but like I'm trying, you know, and I try to learn here and there. But yeah, so this friend started getting back into her faith and then she went and did net. And I was like, oh, I think I like went on a retreat when I was in middle school. And I still don't actually know if I did or if it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, so I thought about that and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I like kind of pushed it out of my head. And then I heard the word Steubenville and I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I went to Steubenville too. Uh-huh. And I did. I was 17 and my mom signed myself and my two younger brothers up and we did not want to go and we were really mad and she knew it. And sorry, Mom, for all of that. Ugh. Yeah. And we went. She signed us up with our high school who was going, but there was a church with the same name. And so we ended up going with a church of people that we had never met before. And so it was kind of, I mean, it was a blessing in disguise in that, like, I was able to just, like, if I wanted to be present and not have anybody around me, like, influencing me, because I was highly influenced by my friends. And yeah, the only, there's like a few things I remember from that weekend aside from just like dreading it. I remember the first night they brought around the monstrance, and for whatever reason, I was crying when it got over to me, and I like did not understand at all even what was going on. Like, I did not know Jesus was in the monstrance. I didn't know that that was called adoration. I knew nothing. And I just remember crying, and people were trying to comfort me, and it was so uncomfortable because I didn't know them. And
they're like touching you.
Oh my gosh. And they're like, can I pray over you? And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, 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 this is all too much. And so, it was just like, a lot.
That's overwhelming.
Yeah. And then I also have my brothers on both sides of me just being like, whoa, what are you crying about? I was like, oh, I don't even know. And so, yeah. And so then to like try to be like the cool older sister, somebody who's like unaffected by it, I just kind of like made myself stop crying, sit up straight, and like forgot about it. And would not address it until, honestly, until I started, I was at NET. But anyway, so this friend applied to NET and did NET. And I remember talking to her about it. And we just would, before NET, she and I, we would just go to like coffee shops and bring Bibles and journals. And we ended up, I mean, I didn't know it at the time, but we were just praying together. Like, we would just bring our Bibles and I would just open it to the Psalms, because that was the only thing I could find that I was like relating to.
Do you remember... I'm gonna do this. Do you remember a specific psalm that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I do. I couldn't tell you the name of it, the verse, anything like that. But I remember finding one. It was like, I'm going to guess like Psalm 30 something. But I remember it just being like, essentially like, talking about how like I have a broken heart. And how could God love a broken heart? But he does. What the heck? And I just remember being like, wait, what? That's crazy. I thought it was just like Moses and, you know, the big names. Yeah. So, so we just started praying together. And then after she got back from her year on the road, she was on NET staff. And so she invited me to things on NET and just got to know a bunch of the staff there. And they invited me to apply. And so I had applied and got accepted and could not believe it, because I still felt like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Did I fool them? Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Am I trying to fool them? Like, what's going on? I had so many questions, but I was like, fine. I don't know what I'm doing with my life anyway. And I feel so much better and so much more fulfilled when I'm doing things that the Lord asks me. And so I was like, okay, I really don't know much about this aside from what I've seen. And I don't know much about myself. I don't know much about God. I know that I pray and I know what he sounds like to me, but I don't know who he is really, or like how big he is. And so then I, said yes to NET. And then from there, it was just like moment after moment after moment of being like, why are you choosing me for this? Like, I feel so unqualified. But he just was like, I got you. Don't worry about it. And so I didn't. And yeah, now I'm here.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. It's really cool, because like there's so many people that have similar experiences with you as far as like the Steubenville story. There's tons of people out there that experience the tears that just come out of nowhere. And I don't know if it was same as you, but like for me, the tears that came out were so ugly. It was so ugly, and like I didn't know my face could make that. Like, it was moving in ways that I never knew was possible. And like I was like panting, like like I was like, what the hell, you know? And I was like this cool kid, and I was a sophomore in high school, and like my younger brother was there too, and we were both crying. We had no idea what was going on. But yeah, it's, I mean, I I wish there was like a way in which that we can do a better job of like showing people who aren't familiar, like that, you know, just like to walk with them in a better way. Like, yeah, just be better at that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like, it's so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then you leave the retreat and you're just kind of like, looking back now, I had an encounter with Jesus for the first time that's super profound. Mm-hmm. And I go home, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. You're like, okay, well, I'll put that one away.
Yeah, just put it in your back pocket for the next time, you know? So, yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay, so basically, you went on net. Mm-hmm. It got crazy, because it always gets crazy. Yeah. How has that journey, and it doesn't just have to be net, but like from the moment you've kind of just like, you know, decided to have a relationship with Jesus, how has that shaped you now? Mm-hmm. Like, how has that affected how you see things now and experience things now? Because I do have a similar story to you where I did party a lot also in college. I bet you we were hungover in the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because the way you said it was so true. It's so true to me. Was true to me also, was that freedom of like not going, mm-hmm. right? It was like, oh, I can choose not to go.
Yeah.
Which is something that like we all fall to, but yeah, that's I don't know, it stuck out to me because that's exactly how I experienced that. So, but yeah, anyways, back to the question, like, I don't know, like, I just want to know, how has that affected you? And I'm guessing it continues to change you.
Yeah.
So yeah, can you kind of just speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that like net really taught me was just the importance of trust in like that I'm good enough for something, whether that be to be a team leader, which when they asked me internally, I was like, absolutely not. Nope. No way. No. Bye.
Yeah.
'Cause I just had no idea what I was doing. And I was so sure that I had to be a certain type of person or know certain things. And like, I just didn't know those things. And I did not feel like I was that type of person. And, yeah, I mean, it just taught me a lot about trust and like, especially not only just like trusting others' judgment of me or others' confidence in me, but like, just like how much the Lord shows up when you say yes. And it's just wild because I am so, I'm so much worse off without him.
Mm.
And I saw that when I was on the road, like when I would skip prayer, or when I wasn't as charitable as I should have been, or when I started to feel really prideful, just how much worse I was treating people. And, I was afraid to say yes to things. And, yeah, I just got stuck in my own head a lot, 'cause I stopped trusting him from time to time. And even just for like a moment here or there throughout the day, and like things would just fall apart when I stopped trusting him. And so in that, I'm a serial doubter. So I will question everything until I fully understand it. And most times that happens internally. And so that year taught me also a lot about like, it's okay to ask questions and to like have questions or to feel uncertain about things. But to not just like lean into that uncertainty, to like pursue answers to these questions or to pursue, understanding. Yeah. And I mean, I still have doubts like to this day all the time. 'Cause again, I'm a serial doubter. Yeah.
And that's, I think a lot of people are. I think some people just don't want to admit it. Mm-hmm. And I think once you admit that, which is probably the hardest part, is admitting that you need like fixing in one area. Yeah, because I definitely, yeah, like for me, once I started admitting to myself that I had struggles with impurity and just like the fact that, wow, like I actually like that sin a lot. Mm-hmm. And once I, and it took me a couple of years, maybe like a year or so to like say, whoa, I have affection mm-hmm. for this bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once I admitted that to myself and I was at confession, I was like, I think this is, you know, and then the priest was like, congratulations. Like you've, you know, mm-hmm. you've admitted to that. I was like, oh, thanks. But yeah, once I've admitted to that, things started getting better mm-hmm. for sure. It's still a struggle, but like, yeah, just admitting to that mm-hmm. definitely. So I commend you for that. Yeah. So it sounds like, I think if I were to put another like kind of layer on this or to label it surprise, I guess, like a lot of surprises came about when your mom signed you up for a Steubenville conference with your brothers, and surprise when you decided to do net and then they were like, hey, you're going to lead a team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was wondering is there something that's happened recently, like the past year, that you've been surprised by?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Specifically this last year has surprised me in more ways than I can count and want to count. oh my goodness. Yeah. A year ago, there's no way that I could have predicted that I would be where I am or who I am or feeling what I do. I've had a lot of heartbreak in the last year. I've come to terms with the fact that like anxiety is also something I struggle with. Mm-hmm. So depression, anxiety, kind of convince you of like not being enough or feeling like you're too much, and really kind of shove you into the corner of shame and like cover you with blankets that are not warm or cozy. And you just feel super, super alone, super isolated. And I've just been surprised time and time again, like every time I talk about it, like how much goodness and beauty comes from it, even though like shame and depression and anxiety, like because it's so isolating, it also tells you, like it convinces you like to not talk about it. Mm-hmm. And often, like almost every time in the last year that I've talked about it, I start crying because I can feel how hard it is to talk about it. And I can feel the depression and anxiety like pulling me back into that corner of shame. And it's just like, it is a freaking battle to like sometimes be vulnerable, which I used to think I was really good at. Yeah. So I don't even remember what your question was, but there's that.
No, you answered it. I mean, yeah, just the question was about surprise. You said it. But I think you mentioned something that I think is so important that we as human beings need to talk about more, and that's mental health. Mm-hmm. I never knew how incredibly difficult it is to have depression mm-hmm. and anxiety. I don't know if I have it, I'm not sure, but I do know that I've lived with people and I'm really good friends with people who experience either depression or anxiety or both. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that it is a battle mm-hmm. that's so hard to fight because for some people, they don't even have the motivation to fight it. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to one of my friends and it's just like, I'm like trying to like help, mm-hmm. but like for people out there, by the way, who are listening, the two people who are listening, if you're like trying to help someone who has like mental issues or mental health problems, especially in the areas of depression and anxiety, from what I've learned is like don't have the mentality of fixing them because it's just not helpful. This is for everyone in general, but like especially with mental health issues, because it's just like, it's like you can't have that mentality of like, oh, just do this. Like, no, that's the worst thing to say. Because it's like they can't.
Yeah.
Like they just can't because it's like that hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that hard. Oh, and like literally the best thing you can do is validate and just say, yeah. I think my favorite tactic is just saying that sucks, because it's true. Like it just sucks. And like there's nothing I can do to help.
Yeah.
But just like understand, you know? So yeah. And just to talk about it, I think it's still taboo, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of things in this world is still taboo that I think shouldn't be, like, yeah. Like sex. Like we need to talk about that. Like we need to talk about sex. We need to talk about mental health issues. Cause it's just like, it needs to be brought to light.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that went on a tangent.
Keep going. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All about it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, since we're on this topic, I think I felt depression. I don't want to like self, what's it called? Yeah, I don't want to self-diagnose myself, but I've definitely felt stuck and I've definitely felt like discouraged and like restless. Last year was like a really hard year because of that, because I just felt like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. Part of it too was there wasn't a lot of sun. I realized that when I went to California this summer and I was just happy running errands. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell is happening? I'm like at Costco, like, what? You know?
Yeah.
Then I realized like it's the sun, like it's a legitimate thing. So now I'm on like vitamin D pills and now I'm like better. I'm like, cause oh, I need it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. And thankfully, like, I don't think I struggle with depression, or anxiety. If anything, I do have tendencies to be anxious and to be depressed. Right. But mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So before we started recording this, you mentioned that, we kind of talked about, vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Now, how has that, like, when did the concept of vulnerability enter your life?
Yeah.
Was it during NET? Was it before NET? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually very typically or stereotypically when I first heard Dr. Brené Brown's TED Talk on vulnerability, like maybe it was 2012. But I remember hearing it or watching it on YouTube, I guess. That's how I watched it. I don't remember how I got there. Nobody sent it to me, nothing like that. I think it was just one of those weird YouTube holes. Yeah. I hate getting stuck in those. This was a good one though. I ended up watching her TED Talk, and I, my whole life have felt either not good enough or too much of something. I don't remember feeling ever just like, okay, I just am. Like, it's always been one or the other. And I've always felt underqualified for things, as I just mentioned about NET. And I remember watching Dr. Brené Brown talk about vulnerability, and she was talking about how she's going to like beat this thing and she's going to like figure it out and be able to put like numbers and labels on this thing that you can't do that to at all. But like the thing I remember most was just like relating and just being like, holy expletive. Like, I have found something that I feel very understood by. Mm-hmm. And like, I really relate to this. And, I was just like so wildly inspired by how much she talked about her own vulnerability. And how she talked about how she had breakdowns, and like, she talked about therapy, and, she talked about so many common ground things that people share, and it was like, holy cow. Okay. And this is all just from talking about vulnerability or like being vulnerable yourself. Maybe I should try this out. So I tried it like in small ways, like here and there. But it didn't really like, become a priority for me or become something that I really wanted to do until I had a relationship with the Lord. Because I just felt like known by him. And the more I showed up and was vulnerable with him, or like swore at him, or which I did still do a lot.
Yes. you can take it.
Yes, he can, thankfully. But the more that I'm just like so real with him, like the more I feel like known and okay with him, which feeling okay is a massive victory for me. Yeah. So
I think there's people out there who are listening and they're just kind of like, oh, that's great. Vulnerable. What would you say is a practical way to be vulnerable, let's say, for people? And I think it's easier to say like how to be vulnerable with people, because you just talk to them and you tell them how you feel, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But like when it comes to God, like mm-hmm. how do you even do that?
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, I can only speak for what I did and like what worked for me. So I don't know if there's like a set list of things that people can do, because everyone's relationship with the Lord is different and everyone themselves is different. Yeah. But I know for me, it looked more like maybe I didn't write in my prayer journal that day. Maybe that's because I didn't want to write down the things that I was feeling. It was so vulnerable for me that I just wanted it like up in the air to the Lord. But I think it became really real for me after Net, when I was in the Adoration Chapel and I had like an 11 PM Monday night hour. And I remember like, I would just like walk around in the Adoration Chapel, 'cause no one's coming at that time. Yeah. And I would walk around and I'd like get up in close in front of his face and just being like, I don't know if you're in there. Like being really real and being like, I don't know. I don't know about you. I'm here because I want to be about you and I want to believe you and like believe that you're in there, but I don't know if you are. And like the more that I did that, it was like, well, I'm talking to somebody. Like there's something in me that's saying that I believe. But just being really real with him and like crying and sometimes being like, look, Lord, I have nothing for you except for my tears. So like, I'm just going to cry in prayer today. And like, I have no pretty words. I have nothing for you. Or just trying to get comfortable with him and like believing that what I tell him is confidential. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just like not trying to make my prayer look a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. And really just feeling it out and like being really quiet. Being really quiet was really helpful, because then I can hear him and interact with him rather than just like talk to him and then kind of just walk away. Mm-hmm. And then it's not a conversation. So I don't know. That's like a whole, you know, jumbled list of things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there is a set list. I think it just is like trial and error, you know, just showing up the best that you can. Whether that's like you roll over and you grab your rosary, or you go to adoration, or you go on a retreat, like however you can best show up is the best way to show up. Mm-hmm. And to be really brutally honest with him.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. You touch on a lot of things that I want to speak on, because I think what I'm getting from that is just allowing yourself to be. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if there are times when I have like really good prayer time, I just feel like, wow, I'm like on, you know, I'm like, wow, hell yeah. You know, like in the Adoration Chapel, nodding my head.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You know, like the worst like thing to say in the chapel. But I'm like, yeah. And then there are times I'm like, hey, I'm in here. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm in here. I'm going to pray the rosary, 'cause I made a commitment to pray the rosary, but I'm literally just saying the damn words, 'cause that's all I can do right now, 'cause I'm really distracted. I'm going to read the daily readings, 'cause I know that's what's happening. And like, I'll write certain things and it's like, all right, hours up, time to go, you know, like, and not feeling bad about that. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that it's not always going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I want the world to know that, because mm-hmm. I think the world hears us saying, pray, the world hears us saying, have a relationship with Jesus, and it's the best thing you can do for your life. And it's not like a, you know, it's not like a 12-step program. It's not like a, you know, life improvement thing or whatever you want to call it, but like, it's everything, right? But I think I need them to know that you have to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And I need them to know that it's going to be really messy, mm-hmm. and not glamorous. Mm-hmm. And it's probably glamorous for like 1% of the time.
Yeah.
And then the rest is like figuring it out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. I think like my heart just really goes out to the world and those individuals who don't know. Mm-hmm. And like, I just really want them to know. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I can confidently say I was there and just like, yeah, like those nights out partying and, it's crazy. Like looking back now, I'm like, wow, I was really sad.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
I drank myself to sleep.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, you know, like yeah. I drank myself crazy so I didn't have to remember what I was running away from.
Absolutely.
And like, I was like, oh, is that alcoholism? You know, like I was like, yeah, I think it, you know, I had to like think about that. I'm like, oh, okay. You know? And like, thankfully, actually, like this helped me a lot when I was on net. You had that one drink rule and it helped a lot because, and I was such a rule follower. Like I didn't, like I'm pretty sure I succeeded, but
not a rule follower.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, it's fine. But yeah, for me, it was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I think one thing I do want to say about net and just like my whole journey with Christ now is like, I think I got my innocence back, which I thought I drowned with alcohol, but once I got my innocence back, it was a weird journey getting my innocence back. Cause it takes like, I don't want to say dumbing down, but just like doing something really childish to kind of get it back. Yeah, back to basics. Exactly. And net was perfect for that for me because it was like I had no choice but to do these like childish things because that's what I was asked to do. And, you know, and I'm still, yeah, net kind of like chews you up sometimes. Like it feels like you got chewed up and then spit back out into the world. You're like, what just happened? But I think that's just Jesus. So yeah. Anyways, so I also want to ask you a couple questions that I was thinking about. When you die, this is totally different now. When you die, what do you want to be known for?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Oh man. I've never thought, well, I'm sure I've thought about it at some point. I think
it's deep.
Huh? Yeah.
It's really deep. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things that are like first coming to my mind, and I don't know like how much I would want to be known for them, but they're just the first things that are coming to my mind is like, I would love to be like a warm place for people. Or just like someone or something or some place that they look to where they're like, all right, like I know they're in my corner, or I know that she is always there. Whether or not they utilize me or not, it doesn't matter. I just want people to know that I am here. And just because you don't hear from me does not mean I'm gone. And yeah, I think just a place of warmth and like a place to exhale, to just be okay, to find a moment where you feel okay. Cause I think happiness is honestly overrated.
Say more.
Yeah. yeah. Happiness is so, to me, and this is just my own thoughts. I mean, I think it's just, it's overhyped. It's so fleeting. You can't feel happy every single day. You can try your best, but like, good luck. It's an exhausting game to play. But to just like feel okay is, for me at least, because I have anxiety and depression and grew up with ADD, so I'm a real treat. to just feel like okay feels like such a victory. And when I like feel okay, that's when I'm like, I can feel my breath and like I can feel myself and I can like take slow time to like look around me and fully absorb what's around me. Cause just as much when I'm like horribly sad or horribly angry, when I am like jumping for joy, happy, like I can't absorb the things around me. Like it's too much for me, in a really good way. Like I am such an emotional person that I am so affected by everything and it can be blinding. So when I feel like total happiness, I don't know. It doesn't always feel as happy or as good. And I know that when I feel okay, that's where I feel, I don't want to say like, that's where I feel happy, but that's where I like just long to be, is to just feel okay. So I don't know. That's a weird thing, but
I mean, that's, I can kind of see where you're trying to get at. It's like your spot, like your little nook. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with when I'm like elated and just like extremely happy and, you know, I'll be like in the middle of like this moment of like extreme happiness and I'm surrounded by people and I can read people pretty well and I'll look at someone's eyes and I can tell they're not happy as much as I am. Mm-hmm. And I now have a decision to make. Do I go up to that person and just kind of be with that person or do I ignore that I saw that and continue to feed my own happiness?
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's the latter. That's what I do because I'm a selfish human being.
We all are.
Yeah, I know. But but when I am, it is strange though, when I do like walk into a room and like let's say the moment before that, I wasn't like super happy, but I was like, all right, you know, it's whatever. That I have a place to go up to, like there's room for going up, I guess. And oftentimes it's because I'm doing it with another person. Mm-hmm. Like either like it's a conversation that we've sparked and it's like, oh, I was not expecting to have this really awesome conversation with you, but now we are, and mm-hmm. I'm in a place where I didn't think we were going to be at. And yeah, so I don't know, maybe mm-hmm. that's kind of what you're saying, but that's what I thought about. Yeah, I had a question and I totally forgot what it was.
You're all good. You're the editor of this.
I know.
As much silence as you want.
I know. I do want to say though, this is like really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this is really good. Like you're super well spoken. So like, I don't have to like edit like a lot of like ums and like, I'm like, oh,
you
my
might.
Gosh. No, it's fine. No, I edit as we go in my head and like, no, I don't need to edit that. Yeah. So, I guess it's not important.
Come back to it.
Yeah. So,
wait, are we allowed to ask you questions?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Where do you feel safe?
Where do I feel safe?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Let's see. It depends. Sometimes I'd like seek out certain people because I feel like I feel safe with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say that it always works. Like, I don't think that's not for sure. And I want to say I feel safe like in the chapel also, but that's also not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have like one place, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So then what does safety feel like for you?
Safety, I don't know, actually. I mean, the closest I can think about is when I'm in those good places with Jesus.
Mm.
I think when I hear the word safe today,
mm-hmm.
I think about complacency.
Mm.
And I don't want to be complacent. I want to be dangerous. Like I want to be able to
risk it.
And cause I think that's just been such a theme this year for me, just taking like leaps of faith, and just doing something that's like extremely scary. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like jumping off a building and like skydiving and stuff like that. Although those are very scary. Mm-hmm. I think I'm thinking more of like those conversations you don't want to have. Mm-hmm. Confrontations. Mm-hmm. I'm not a confrontational person, which made me a very terrible supervisor when I was on net. Looking back now, I'm like, wow, I could have done this, could have done that. Like if I was a supervisor now, I'd kick ass. Cause now I'm like, oh, I will confront every mother, you know, like we'll go there. Yeah. But you know, I was also growing in that, which is super humbling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it now.
Okay.
And I'm not just ignoring your question. I think I answered it. What do you want to accomplish by November 11th, 2019?
A year from now.
Yeah, a year from now, what's one thing you want to accomplish?
I have not thought about this prior to you asking this, so this is really just off the cuff. I think I have always struggled to communicate like how I feel, whether it be good or bad stuff or just whatever stuff. And so I think it would be a great success for me personally to get to a place where I can say, I feel X, Y, and Z, and here's why, and here's what I do about it. Because like I've said, I'm sure a million times now, I'm a really emotional person. And sometimes it can be so intense for me that I have no idea why I'm feeling something. And then I'm crying out of frustration, or then I'm silent out of frustration. And it just is really hard to communicate with people and be in relationship with others when you really struggle to tell them how you feel. Cause they, like, at least the people that I want to be friends with or in some sort of relationship with, they're people that want to know how I feel. And it's a helpless feeling to not know how someone's feeling. Because it just is, then you just don't know how to connect.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I want to get back to or to a new place of understanding myself, I think, in all of that. Yeah. And just be able to communicate a little more clearly. Because right now it's all jumbled.
Yeah.
No, that's great. You said something like towards the end that really caught my attention, and that's, I want to get to that old place or
like that new place.
That new place, yeah. And I think like in this journey of like, for me, in my journey of faith, I oftentimes like will fall in a particular area, let's say like prayer or whatever. And I go to the mentality of, oh, if I can just be how I was last year in that area, I'd be good. But in actuality, like, that's not good, because mm-hmm. you don't want to go back there. Even though it was good, you want to be better and go forward. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's great. So you want to get to that place where you can articulate mm-hmm. your emotions. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing this is like for the people around you that love you, that want to serve you and want to like know how you're doing so that you can feel safe and that you can feel heard.
Mm-hmm. And so I can better love them too, you know, cause if we don't know ourselves, or if we're not taking care of ourselves, like there is no way in hell that you can do that for others. There's no way you can like love other people to the best of your ability when you're not taking care of yourself. And that is just shown for me like time and time again, when I think I've reached the place of like, okay, like I know myself, like it feels good, we're doing great, I'm gonna go do this thing for this person. And then when I see like, no, I haven't been taking care of myself in this way, and that's, it just showed up in this act that I'm trying to do for someone else, and that's not fair. So yeah.
How do you take care of yourself?
I do so many things. Anytime somebody asks me that, I always end up forgetting things. But things that I do consistently is, so I believe that mental health, spiritual health, emotional health, and physical health are all like interwoven. If I am neglecting one of those, I'm neglecting all of them, or it affects everything else. So I try to eat really well. I fail all the time. I had pizza, like a huge pizza yesterday that I just like ate all throughout the day.
What kind?
So
did you
stupid.
Make it?
No, I just ordered it.
From where?
Papa John's. I'm not proud of it at all. It took me an hour to order it too, because I was like, I don't need this. This is stupid, like gross, whatever. But yeah, it's just a cheese pizza that I picked out and finished by the end of the day.
Nice.
So dumb. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. So I try to eat well, which to me just means like eating clean, whole foods with like very few ingredients in them. Like I try to stay away from processed sugars. Dairy does not feel great for me.
So you had pizza.
Yes, I had pizza. Of course. Duh. Few ingredients. Ugh. So I try to eat well. I go to the gym. I take daily walks. And I pray and I read books that help bring about self-awareness. I have a Thursday night commitment in the basement of a church with a circle of other people where we connect. And it's fantastic. And even when I don't want to go and I show up, it's just like, of course you're supposed to be here. Like here's like 10 reasons why. Yeah, so I just try to take care of every single one of those things in my life, every area of my life, because I just feel better when I do, and I'm a better version of myself when I do.
So this is something I knew about you after, I think, like later on when we were serving on Net. Like, you have quite a following on social media.
Yeah.
How has that like played a part in your life? And like, when did it start? Were you on MySpace? Were you on... Wait, what was your first MySpace song?
My first MySpace song? I don't know. I think I probably tried to be really cool and pick like something from like when I grew up, like Carlos Santana probably, and was like, I am unique. I grew up on this. You guys are all picking like Nelly and I don't know who else, but just, yeah, I was like, I'm choosing Carlos Santana because I grew up on him and this is so different, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, what was yours?
That's funny because mine was Nelly.
Yeah.
And like Diddy. It was like the Bad Boys soundtrack. I remember it. It wasn't just the song. It was the music video.
Yes.
Like I was, oh, yeah, I didn't know that, but I knew code.
Yeah.
For wow. For MySpace.
Wow.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And it had like a top 8 and then it turned into a top 32. It's like, all right, let's
around for that.
Yeah, I was like, okay. It did not help with the indecisiveness. And then you had like people who only had like top 4 and it was like,
yeah.
Oh gosh.
Gross.
MySpace.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the question.
Yeah, social media is a weird place. Let's see. I had MySpace. I don't remember when that was. I think I had it in like 8th grade or something. And then Facebook came out my freshman or sophomore year in high school. And so I had one of those. I also had Zanga. Yep. Do you remember Zanga?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know what that is, it's just like a blog pretty much. But it's, yeah, really trivial. Or it was. And I was so committed to my Zanga. Like I wrote in it every single day. Like, yeah. And like all my friends had one. And so it was like, you'd get home from school and like, you knew within an hour of everyone getting home, like you were going to get to read about everybody's days. Cause why would you talk about it when you're in front of them? But yeah, so we did Zanga and Facebook and then I got Twitter right when it came out and I was just like super attracted to like all these new things that were coming out and like different ways to like quote unquote connect.
Yeah.
Like got Instagram right when it came out and honestly I did not know Instagram was like public for a while, so I thought it was just like a photo editing app like a Visco. Yeah. Or Afterlight. It is not. So I'm sure if somebody scrolled very far back you would just see like the same photo over and over and like different filters. Yeah, so after that, what came after that? Wasn't it like Snapchat?
Yeah.
Yeah, gross. I use Snapchat. Don't like it.
Yeah.
Now I just use it for dumb things with my brothers. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. Social media is a bizarre place because you can put whatever you want on there. Nobody knows if it's true. And you don't have to have that much ownership over it, honestly. You can be super anonymous, which I don't think is a good thing. I don't think that's, it just isn't great. I think anonymity is really good in certain situations, but not in that way that some people use it on social media.
I mean, I like following you because your stuff, first of all, is like super aesthetic, really nice, looks great. But you also have like engagement with people who ask you questions that really pertain to their lives. And, you know, I think your content's like very, like, it's very much you. It's genuine, it's vulnerable, and it is what it is. And I think like that's really needed in that sphere. I mean, keep it up. I don't know if you're like, do you have, I guess, like goals towards it? Like, what are your, if you were to have like a goal with your presence online, what is it?
Yeah. I think at one point, well, I know for sure at one point in my life, pre-net, I was like, I want to blog again. And I have a blog still on Tumblr, which is basically just Zanga, but I've had it for so long. I'm just not going to change it for a while, I don't think, but I don't know. Like, the blogger world is so saturated by the same content over and over and over again that I just have no interest in hopping in that anymore, or at least for right now. Because what I have to share, or what I think I would share, would be so different that it might just get lost. And I think that would wound my ego, which is like, okay, great. Another reason not to do it. Like, I don't want it to be about my ego. I don't know. I don't know if I have goals as much as it's like, I have rules for myself with social media where, like, if I feel like something is becoming toxic, I'm going to delete it immediately. Comparison is a waste of time. And I deleted Facebook for a while cause I was getting to that place and it was like, cool, I have a choice over this. I can just delete this stupid app on my phone and it's gone, or delete my account or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you ever just not see me on Facebook, it's probably cause of that. I think, a goal is to just use it healthily, to not try to project a certain version of myself, to not post if I'm posting just because I feel like I should. Like, I want to post things that I want to post. And I want to post things that I want to see. And so I'll never curate it for someone else or for something else. I remember I used to work with companies for a while, pre-net, that would essentially, it's now like sponsorship, what people do now, but or like ads. And it was fine back then. I had more like control over it. But now I know like that there are certain companies that have reached out to me, and like the way that they want me to like do advertisements for them is just not authentic to me. And so I just don't do it. I don't want to do that. There's already so much gross stuff on the internet. I don't want to add to it. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just to wrap things up, do you have anything to say to anyone who might be listening? Or do you have some sort of like mantra that you repeat to yourself every day to keep you going?
I mean, I don't have like a set mantra, but I think that something I'm really trying to like learn or relearn or teach myself right now is to take myself seriously. Going back to like mental health, I think it's really easy to second guess like whether or not you struggle with something or you suffer from something. Struggling and suffering are two different things. I think I'm still trying to even train myself into rewording it, but I suffer from depression. I suffer from anxiety. There are very little things I have control over in those aspects of my life. And I suffer from ADD because there are chemical imbalances in my brain. It's not like I feel sad, so I'm depressed, or I feel stressed, and so I have anxiety. That's not what it is for me. It's different for everybody. But to just take yourself seriously and like you're worth just as much as everyone else around you. And to show up in the best way that I can, which looks different from other people, but mm-hmm. is the best I can do right now. So to just, yeah, just to take myself seriously. Yeah.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it. Thank you for having me. Oh, for people who don't know, I'm at Katie's little flat here. It's nice. It's nice. I mean,
thanks.
It's a podcast, so you can't really say, you can't really see it, but trust me, it's nice.
Thanks. That's nice of you.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, this is the awkward ending.
Mm-hmm.
How should we end this?
I'm trying to remember, you had a podcast where there was like a code, pizza something Tejas or something like
yeah.
that. I was listening today. I should make a joke about that, but now I can't remember what it was. So something.
Pizza Tejas something, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first podcast.
You should just figure out some weird little combination of those words or like different words
at
the end of every podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So three words, right?
Yeah.
Three words. Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nope.
Just look around and like name things.
Okay. Ficus, candles, carpets. So if you reach the very end of this podcast, text me or tweet me with the words ficus, candles, and carpets. Have a great day.